1 Peter chapter 4. Now, while you're turning there, I would like to remind you that last week, Matt told us his New Year's resolution is to bring down his Sunday evening sermons to the pacing of mine. So my New Year's resolution, I'll tell you guys, is to make that really, really hard for him. Now, I will say this. If the day comes that I become as dynamic as Matt is, it's going to be a hard struggle to get me to keep it under 15 minutes. But until that day comes, I will try and make brevity my ally. So, as you turn to 1 Peter chapter 4, we're gonna talk about finishing up our series with the idea of ministering to one another. Last week we talked about having compassion to one another. Here we see the outflow of it in ministering to one another. And just for a second, I want us to pause before we talk about that, because I think just by talking about ministering, we by default put our minds into thinking about pastors, you know, preachers, those who get up on a pulpit, those who are on staff with churches. I need us to all remember that though not all of us in here are preachers, all of us are ministers. We're all ministers of the gospel. In fact, that's what Paul talks about in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 1. He says, "Therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy." See, if you've received mercy, you have this ministry. So we need to remember that we are all called to be ministers. And this word here that talks about ministers is the same word that means servant. It's where we get our word deacon from, is those who are to serve other people. And as an example here for us to understand, right after Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law, it says that she turned around and ministered to them. And maybe some will have Bibles that say serve, but that it's the same word there in the Greek. So you need to understand that other people can minister, and a lot of times it may not just be limited to spiritual ministry, but physical ministry as well, just as Jesus met their physical needs before he addressed their spiritual needs. In fact, this is one of the very reasons at the end of Jesus' temptations, it talks about how the angels ministered to him. That part of that makes me think that he was being fed by the angels after he underwent the temptation and was fasting for 40 days. That Satan tried to tempt him to turn stones into bread, and when he did not, he immediately got answered by God's answer of bread from angels who ministered to him. So all of us need to remember that ministry is not something that is limited to a title. We are all called to ministry. So with that in mind, we turn our attention to 1 Peter chapter 4. Starting in verse 7, it says, "But the end of all things is at hand. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Use hospitality one to another without grudging. As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen." Let's pray quickly. Father God, we are just so grateful for the blessing of the ministry that you have given us, to be able to partake in your work, to do something meaningful with our lives, Lord, and to be a part of your family where we can have positive relationships with you and with others. Lord, I just pray that we all shift our minds to ministry as an outflowing of the compassion we have to you, as an outflowing of the compassion that you've had to us, and that we take this and don't see it as a burden, but as a blessing. Just shift our minds to ministry, Lord, and especially towards ministry with one another. Thank you again for ministering to us first and teaching us how to do it through your Son, Jesus Christ. In your precious and holy name, amen. So the first thing we see here, before we jump into the types of ministry that we have, ministry being the focus of this lesson, you got to see that in verse 7, he kind of sets up the introduction of why we're looking at ministry. He says here, that the end of all things is at hand. So he's making it clear the point of our ministry, the reason why we're doing this, is because we know Christ is coming back again. So he gives it the point, be sober. We need to be ready. He says, watch unto prayer. We need to be praying diligently. And especially thinking about these people in this time, being around 60 AD, there's persecution going on in the church. In fact, around that time frame when Peter was probably written, he mentions, history mentions how there was a fire in Rome and Nero twisted that to blame the Christians. And that's why persecution of the Christians began for Rome. And you can see some of this may correlate with comments like what Peter makes in verse 12 when he says, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you. Look, they were putting Christians to death by flame. So it would be fitting if this is what Peter is referring to in verse 12. But notice this, despite the fact that they're facing persecution, despite all the situation that they're going around and their limitations, the point here is that they still need to be ready, they need to be praying, and they need to be ministering as an expectation for Christ's return. And so for all of us, we need to remember that ministry is not something that's limited by our situation. It's not a condition, it's a requirement. Just like we brought up with that verse earlier with Paul in Corinthians, he says, as we have received this mercy, we have that received that ministry. If you're wanting to say you're not a minister, then I think you're telling me that you haven't received that mercy. So we need to root ourselves in this, in Christ, and in the fact that we are looking to his coming. We're working towards that day. Not that we usher it in with what we do, but that we want to just be ready for when he comes. So that's why we set our mind on ministry. So the first thing we look at here is that we are to minister in love. Now, last week we talked all about love. We talked about compassion. Ministry should be the outpouring of our compassion, of our love. And I understand that you can meet people's physical needs. You can even meet people's spiritual needs without having that love for them. But I tell you this right now, if you love people, you are not going to love them without meeting their spiritual needs and their physical needs. You can minister without love, but you can't love without ministering. So we need to understand that the first thing we need to have is minister in love, and this love needs to be passionate. Look at what he says in verse 8, the first part. He says, have fervent charity. And that's charity meaning love. He doesn't just say, have love for one another. He says, have a passionate love. It needs to be intent. It needs to be constant. And it needs to be earnest. And this idea here of fervency, it almost brings the thought of an athlete who has a skill. This is a fervent skill. They need to work on it. They need to develop it. In the same way, when he says have love or have passion for one another, he's not saying that's your emotion. He's saying that's something you have developed by being put in Christ's spirit. And now look at this very specifically. He gives us the qualifier among yourselves. Now, we're not limiting it to saying we're not supposed to love others who are outside of the church. Obviously, we're to love them too. But he's making this clear here that this ministry that we need, this first needs to be directed at each other. Right? And yes, church is for the lost. We preach the gospel to hope that others come to repentance and come to trust Christ as their Savior. But we shouldn't just expect that when church happens and ministry happens, that if we're saved, we aren't taking part of it, that we aren't experiencing it as a recipient and that we aren't experiencing it as an actor in it. We need to understand that among ourselves, that's where ministry takes place. And that's the focus that Peter puts here. So we need to love each other in that way. Look at the second part of that verse. In verse 8, he says, for love or charity shall cover the multitude of sins. Here we see how positive it is. Now realize something. He's quoting the Old Testament with Psalms and Proverbs, which talks about this. This covering of sins isn't that you're ignoring sins. It isn't that you're allowing it. No, it's that you are not advertising people's sins. Like it says in Corinthians, love doesn't keep count of sins. Yes, we are to address one another's failures, but we don't go to other people and vent about when somebody made us upset. Or at least that's what we shouldn't do. We don't go to other people and gossip about when they've done something wrong. Or at least that's what we shouldn't do. Here it's clear, our love should cover that. So what? Someone has wronged you, and you may be rightful to not be happy with it. But if you love them truly, you are willing to work with them and not go and advertise their failures. And the easy way to do that is to see that and turn it around. Aren't you glad that when God was in that position and when you were the person who had sins, that he didn't go and just advertise it? He didn't go and vent it to somebody? He didn't gossip about it? No, he covered it. In the same way, we are supposed to cover one another's sins by addressing it and fixing the problem. And then when it's fixed, letting them go, not holding them to their past and guilt. Not only are we to minister in love, but look in verse 9, it says we are to minister in hospitality. So first we see here the tool of hospitality, that for those in the church, the first focus, it's a tool for fellowship. But also as a secondary thing, hospitality is a tool for the gospel. Look, we are to bring believers into our house, and we're also to bring unbelievers in our house. In fact, the word where hospitality comes from literally is the word for the love of the alien. So we are to love those who pass through, whether or not they're the same as us, and use it as a chance to minister to them. And this was really important in the ancient church. Even if it's not described in great detail in the Bible, they give us instruction to practice it. And that's because back then they didn't have hotels. If you were traveling from point A to point B, there's a lot of danger in just being somewhere. So having a good place to stay and to be ministered to, that shows you the love of the gospel. And that's something that I would suggest, if any of you guys are curious about the ideas of hospitality, to go and talk to Kylie, because she's been reading a great book about it called The Gospel Comes with a House Key. And it specifically shows how our hospitality should be used as a ministry to our neighborhoods, regardless of whether or not they're Christians or not. And look at this. In the second part of verse 9, moving forward with hospitality, we see that the test of hospitality here is that we are not grudging when we have this. Okay, and this is very clear here, but I think we would all prefer to not have hospitality shown to us rather than having bad hospitality shown to us. Look, showing up to a place and people offering, like they're opening their houses, but you still don't feel like it's been open to you. Now you feel out of place and you don't feel secure. I would much rather take a longer trip to go somewhere where I feel safe and secure. So in the same way, when we open our lives to people, we need to do it truly with our hearts. And I think that's straightforward enough here that we can move on. But remember, this is what Christ did for us. The last thing we see with ministry here is that we are to minister with wisdom. This is what you see in verse 10 and 11. See, here it says that it talks about our gifts and it talks about putting them to use. See, he shows how every man has received a gift, and even so to minister to one another. So the point here of our gifts, which is from the word grace, God has given it to us graciously. You didn't earn a gift. Look, your spiritual gifts that you received, and even the gifts that you may call physical gifts in life, God gave you them as a tool to be a steward for him to minister to people in the church and to people outside of the church. That includes your house. That includes your money and your resources. That includes what you think you're gifted at in life. All of it is to be used as ministry to edify the church, to propagate the gospel, and to glorify God. So we need to first discern what those gifts are. See, he says that if we have gifts, that we need to use those to minister. Well, how do you know a gift if you haven't discerned what it is? So in the same way, we need to remember to look and not be focused about thinking it makes us superior, but seeing how we can serve others and what God has equipped us to do. And a church is such a great place to do this. The church can help you identify what your gift is. Like when we look at lists of gifts, I think of people that connect to them. I see gifts there, and we can see people that fit that bill. Now, something important here to clarify is that gifts, if you have one gift and you don't have another gift, that doesn't mean that you are less than a person or that you're better than a person. It's just like we wouldn't say that a plumber is better than an electrician, or an electrician than a carpenter, or a carpenter than someone who does sheetrock. All of these people and more work to put this building together. I think we could all say if we didn't have one of those, there'd be something wrong with this building. We wouldn't be happy. In the same way, no gift is better than the other, as long as they're all being put to use to glorify God and to build each other up. So what we should do is learn what those are and to build each other up with them. And the second thing we should note is that even if it's not your gifting in that primary sense, that we're all still called to the same ministry. Like some people may say, well, I don't have that gift of generosity like that person does. That doesn't mean you live life not being generous. Well, I don't have that gift of serving like that other person does. Well, that doesn't mean you don't go and serve people in life as a Christian. Maybe there are things that are more natural to you, and maybe there are things that you can do to a better extent than others, but you're still called to ministry just as them. And that's where we get to the last part here. We see there's the discernment, and there's the equipment, and then you act out it. See, you discern your gifts, and lastly, you display your gifts. See, in a way to say it, we understand what it is in our minds, but then we put legs to what the gift is. We actually put it to action. See, he says here that he focuses on the speaking aspect of it. He talks about how if they're to minister, let him do it out of the ability. Look, your gift isn't something to just be put up on the shelf and take just to show other people when you're there. If you've been given a gift, do it. Use it. And so let God renew you in that as you do it too. It says the point is for God to be glorified. Realize God has given you that gift, and God will sustain you as you use that gift. Because here's the thing. If you are ministering, it's going to take of you. And if you keep doing that, you will empty yourself and you'll burn out unless you're being filled back up. What's the solution to that is that we minister to each other and we make sure that we are being ministered to by God. We don't block off that connection to him. We abide in him so that we can produce much fruit. Now, the best example I can think of is ministering is one that we've talked about with our youth as we've been going through the book of Mark, is Mark 10:45, which Jesus says, for even the Son of Man came not to serve or to be served or to be ministered to, but to serve, to minister, and to give his life as a ransom for many. See, realize here really quickly that there's more than just power in that verse. But contextually, Jesus started out that section by talking about he's looking at Jerusalem. He's going to the place that he's going to die. So he turns to his disciples and he tells them that I'm going to die. I'm going to be beaten. I'm going to go and resurrect for you guys. And they immediately turn around and instead of talking about that, they ask who's better. James and John ask if they can sit at his right and left hand. They ask if they can sit in a place of authority. And Jesus basically knocks their idea down. He says, you don't even understand what you're asking for. And he says, listen, the Gentiles lord it over each other. Who's better? He says, but it's not supposed to be that way with you. The one who's greater in the kingdom of God is the one who is a servant. And then he brings up that quote, that even he came not to be served, but to serve. Now realize this, in Philippians it says that Christ showed humility and by taking on, as God, didn't count it as equality, but took on the form of a servant and humbled himself to the point of death, even death on a cross. That is our example for love and ministry. And so realize this, we to each other should be as Christ was to us. So if we aren't doing that, then we're displaying a lack of our understanding of the mercy that God has given us. So let's think about that and dwell on that. And moving forward into our weeks, look at to how we can minister to those who are in our church. Let's pray. Father God, we're just so thankful for the ministry of reconciliation that you have given us. Please just remind us of your love, of our sin first, and your love that has covered that sin. Please then take that love and turn it into our love for one another, for those who are lost, but those who are also found, that we can serve them in the way that you've served us. Just put us as a small portion of our mind and put other people as greater than us and you as the greatest thing so that service comes easy to us, Lord. In Jesus' name.